I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm recording right next to my co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt.
All right, we're kicking things off today with a little ranting. Then we got Worst Things First, where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're bringing back our annual Valentine's Day Rant Hotline special.
Boop, 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 boop.
Recurring guest complainer Lane Moore is back on the pod to solve all of your love and relationship problems with us. And finally, we'll get to all the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier with our chasers.
And by the way, we are not going to have an episode next week, so just make sure to really savor this one. We're just taking a little vacation. I am literally going to Florida. So maybe I'll be posting some Floridian pics on the Unhappy Hour Instagram.
Mm.
Maybe I will be the cause of a Worst Things First story.
Yeah, Florida, you might not make it back.
I
we know that
not.
For sure. Better watch out for falling iguanas. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, Barry, what's your gripe this week?
This week, it was gloomy outside, it was raining a lot, and that really reminded me that people don't know how to use umbrellas. They are walking around, acting like they are still the same size, and meanwhile, they have just a huge piece of equipment taking up the rest of the space
That's
around them.
That's always my problem, isn't it? Oh, I got this huge piece of equipment that I'm walking around with. Everyone, always getting in everyone's way. They're like, oh, here he comes.
You have someone who's like normally on the right side of the sidewalk, and then suddenly they're taking up the entire space because of their umbrella. But not only that, this is really more for people who are like 5'8 and up, which famously I'm 5'9 and a half.
Mm-hmm. You're a tall girl. TM Netflix 2019.
Why wasn't that nominated for Best Picture? Oscar buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, umbrellas become weapons because people who are like average height, they will raise their umbrella higher and then it is directly in eye line with me. And I'm legitimately afraid of having my eyes poked out by people's umbrellas.
Yeah. I mean, I never actually think about it because I feel like I'm taller than most people's even umbrella height.
Brag.
I think the biggest anxiety is that when you're walking with an umbrella, like I am hyper aware of my surroundings. So I'm always worried I'm going to hit someone.
Right.
But then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm holding the umbrella at like a 7-foot level.
And I wish that other people could like get that energy from you because other people just have no fucking clue what is around them at any time when they're holding an umbrella.
Well, yeah, that's just a bigger issue.
Yeah.
We can't fix society.
Why can't you all be more like Matt? How
That's always what
the
I'm
world
saying.
Would be.
Just walking around with massive equipment. but being respectful with it.
Yes, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What's your gripe this week? What's going on?
Oh, what have I done this week? I don't know. I've been on like a spending spree.
Oh, good.
My gripe is that there's too much stuff.
There's so much stuff and I want
Why
all the
is there
stuff
so much
all
stuff?
The time.
I want to buy everything all the time. And then every time I bring something into my apartment, I'm like, either I have to eat this or find a place for it.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that crazy? This was a sober thought that I had this week.
I think you need to break this down for me, please.
It's just like every time you go out and buy something and bring it back, it's like either you've purchased something that is going to be consumed or then you own something.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
Right.
Hopefully.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. It really makes you think about consumption and waste, doesn't it?
Yeah, and how much shit I go through constantly. I don't think it was until this last time that I moved that I was like, I have so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So much stuff, but I want more.
Always. It's never enough.
Never enough, never, never, never enough, never, never, never enough.
Okay.
For me, for me. I watched that movie on an airplane once.
Fascinating
tale.
You
don't even know what movie that is.
Show me. What is it? Show Me a Hero. That's an HBO series. Showman, The Greatest Showman. I got there.
Sure.
Greatest Showman. Hugh Jackman.
Anyway, the point is Target is a terrorist organization. And we need to take them down from the inside. Oh, that is my other gripe. And perhaps this is specific to New York, but the Target that I go to has taken to locking up every product imaginable.
I can't stand
that. The amount of items that are now behind lock and key, and it's always the most embarrassing shit, which I get. I get that's why, because, you know, people don't want to buy. But it's like you're putting, they put, I buy, CeraVe, what is it called?
Yeah.
CeraVe, like, products that I guess is for, like, oily, acne-prone skin. And why is that under lock and key? Who is stealing CeraVe? It's not, like, that any more expensive than, like, other cosmetics.
Yeah, I also feel like, I'm sorry, but it, like, Target can take the hit. It's not worth our emotional labor of having to ask someone to open it. That
just
costs us more than
implicitly,
it costs Target.
When I ask an employee, because then I have to find an employee,
impossible,
and then ask them. And I feel like implicitly I want to be like, I know you fucking hate me right now. I hate me too. Sorry that I want to buy something.
I but get it's also like what a store is for.
Your job sucks. But yeah, this is what we've done. I mean, I think they also hate it.
Yeah.
I don't think they like it.
No one does.
And then I have to be like, I just hate that moment where I have to like tell the employee what product I want.
Yeah.
It's so humiliating.
I bought a hair dryer and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy some sort of like fun curling iron too. All of those were locked up and I had someone come over and someone came over. They asked which one I wanted. And I was like, oh, fuck. Now I feel like I'm ordering from a menu and I don't actually know. And I haven't done any research about this. And now you're here and I have to, and I'm under a time limit and a pressure. And I bought something and I looked it up. And I think that it like, I don't think that they even make it anymore. It's a Conair product that I'm pretty sure the CVS has had for like 6 years.
Sure.
There have definitely been like several editions since. So I bought a super shitty thing.
I hate that entire practice. Target can handle it. This week I had to go. I pointed at the soap and she had to like bend down and be like, do you want the gentle one for problem skin or normal? And I was like, gentle for problem skin.
I'm a sensitive little baby.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah.
What do you think?
Sorry, I'm a pussy. Anyway, that's my gripe.
We love it. We love it. We're not playing a rant hotline right now because we have so many gorgeous ones in our Valentine's Day deep dive. But if you have some shit you need to get off your chest, just know that you can always call us at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. You'll be featured on the pod.
And now let's get to the headlines. Beep, 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 beep. All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest news of the week first. Residents of a town in Mississippi are reporting that a mysterious smell, one that has apparently lingered for months in past years.
Oh, no.
It's back, baby. It's back in downtown Hattiesburg.
I take it it's a bad smell?
Oh, yeah. I don't think a good smell is referred to as a smell. There's a difference between aroma and odor.
Oh, okay. This town isn't just like super innovative in their like aromatherapy for the whole town.
Right. Apparently, this is a recurring problem in this part of Mississippi. The local news reports that this has been going on for years. And the source of this mysterious bad smell is unknown. They've been unable to find it. Some residents say it smells like ammonia.
Oh, that's not good.
Others compare it to the scent of a rotting animal corpse.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So probably the gates of hell are nearby. That's my guess.
Sure. I mean, yeah, let's face it. If the gates of hell are in the United States, probably in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Or Florida, but close enough.
Yeah.
Mississippi is the Florida of the Deep South. Even though Florida is in the Deep South.
Right.
But I never think of Florida as the Deep South.
Because it's like even more south than the Deep South, you know?
Right.
Because of the dick. That is Florida.
Residents say the smell is typically most noticeable in the morning, but sometimes rolls in during the evening. So they have no information about the smell.
No rhyme or reason.
They think it probably is from the sewer system, but they investigated the sewer lagoons, and the mayor said that testing found they were all working properly and operating within limits of the city's state permit. So they just have no idea where this horrible smell is coming from, and I cannot imagine a worse situation. In my mind, a mysterious bad smell is akin to death, actually.
I mean, yeah.
This is how they should have killed Jesus.
What? Why do you always bring up the crucifixion of Christ?
I don't know, maybe because I went to Sunday school every week where that's all they talked about.
Okay, I don't bring up the Torah every goddamn minute.
Yeah, that's because that's fake.
What?
Isn't the Torah just the Old Testament?
Yes.
I don't know these things.
I do.
Okay. Well, maybe I would know if you talked about it more.
Fair.
But you don't. You withhold knowledge from me. And so I just have to guess. Anyway, I'm just saying this is an appropriate means of torture. I honestly think introducing horrible smells.
Yeah. Maybe this is a government conspiracy. Mm. The CIA is testing new torture.
Yeah, whenever there's a weird, like, oh, we don't know where this thing is coming from. It's like, what aren't they telling us? Yeah,
you don't know for a reason.
Yeah, this is exactly how it starts, folks.
I feel like we need a tin hat sound, like a tin hat sound effect.
Yeah. Next, the mayor of Hudson, Ohio presented this whack argument against allowing ice fishing at a local park. So he was arguing against ice fishing at a local park because he said it might lead to prostitution.
Oh, yes, but of course. But of course.
What do you mean, sir? Let him explain. Okay, in a now viral video, the mayor told city council members, quote, if you open the park up to ice fishing, while on the surface it sounds good, then what happens next year? Does someone come back and say, oh, I want an ice shanty for X amount of time? An ice shanty, I guess.
It's like the little huts that they build above the ice.
So you're sitting and your ice. So, okay, let's start from the beginning. Mm. Fish are food in the water.
Yep, right.
And they go swim, swim, swim. And then in the wintertime, the water freezes.
Just on the top, there's still water below.
Right. And so if you don't want to die, but still get your delicious fish meat, you have to go fishing on top of the water. And so you cut a little glory hole on top of the water, and then you sit there and fish through it.
Right.
But guess what? It's cold.
It's so cold.
So you have to build up a little tent, mm-hmm. shanty, around your hole. And the mayor is like, well, first you get ice shanties, and then guess what? Someone's going to come knock, knock, knocking and want to charge you for sex. Literally,
classic.
He says, and if you then allow ice fishing with shanties, then that leads to another problem. Prostitution. Just no other logical steps on that ladder. Right to prostitution. And now you got the police chief and the police department involved. Just data points to consider. I'm going to start saying that after everything.
Absolutely.
Just data points to consider when you make the most ludicrous argument I've ever heard. What has this man done on a lake that he is like, I'm just throwing it out there, but we're going to get hookers.
Oh, yeah.
You set up a tent. There's going to be hookers involved.
There's nothing more sensual to me than absolutely forking on a just huge, thick sheet of ice, you know?
Yeah.
Real comfortable in essentially public.
Right. Yeah. Because the one thing that I want to do when I'm outside in the freezing snow is get naked.
Yeah. Take off all my clothes.
Right.
Or at least the ones that protect my most sensitive areas.
I will say, when I was younger, I had snow pants, and we never got new snow pants every year.
No.
It's like you bought them once and just hope that they fit forever. And then naturally, I went through a growth spurt in my ass and went outside the next year on the first snow day. And first moment I bent over, just major ass rip. So I'm just saying there is access.
You were one step closer to prostitution.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, should be legal and fine. So who cares? Who cares if you use the shanties to fuck?
Right? You're killing two birds with one stone here.
Yeah.
You're getting fish and you're getting fucked.
Yeah.
So what?
Sounds like a great town. I'd move there. Sounds like a great reason to move to, where is this, Ohio? Hudson, Ohio. See you in 2023.
Yeah, I just, it's just like, if you want to fuck on the ice, you should be able to, frankly.
Amen. This is America, goddammit.
Right. And finally, a security guard allegedly ruined a $1 million painting on his first day of work by drawing faces on it.
Yes. I mean, when you're bored, what are you going to do? You're going to doodle.
Yeah. If on your first day of work?
Yeah.
When you're security, I cannot imagine how boring it must be to be a museum security guard.
You can't even be on your phone.
No, you're just standing. All you do is every 20 minutes be like, no pictures with flash at some 16-year-old who doesn't even want to be there to begin with.
They're just taking selfies.
Yeah. Anyway, so this painting is by someone named Anna Lepreskaya.
Oh, so it was a woman artist.
Yeah. So it's like, okay,
get over it.
Right. This is not worth $1 million. I don't know who told her this, but it shows a series of previously faceless figures. and it was hung in this kind of museum center in Russia. And yeah, this employee who was not named was said to be around 60 years old, is reportedly already been fired. But this was his first day of work and he got bored and took out a ballpoint pen and started drawing on the artwork for some reason. He drew faces on two of the three figures depicted in the painting.
I love this because it's like, ambition, you know? He's just like, I can make this better. What can I do on my first day of work? Improve the situation around me, you know?
Yeah, here's the picture. It's these three faces and he just drew these little eyes.
We'll have to post this on Instagram. It's so good. Honestly, it's a better painting now.
Basically, these three heads, they kind of look like, do you know like the little models that they use in like art classes?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
are like
yeah.
little wooden figures.
Yeah, it just looks like those heads. Yeah, it looks like little matchsticks.
Just blank faces. Honestly, yeah, it's kind of a shit painting, yeah. If I'm being honest. $1 million for this? No. I will easily recreate this and you would have no idea. So this man was improving this painting, but now experts are like, oh, guess what? You ruined it and the value is worth a lot less, and you know, now he lost his job for
rude.
Going above and beyond. It's disgusting. Only in Russia, am I right? This is just a distraction from Russia, frankly. They're like, here's a fun story while we invade Ukraine. I do love, though, that now this is going to set off, like, they're going to hire some old lady to fix it, and she'll probably fuck it up even worse and like try to draw, you know, Jesus.
Is this a reference to like a movie or something?
One of the most famous painting restorations of all time.
I'm sorry that I don't just have lists of painting restorations just on the top of my head.
You don't know the picture of that? It was like a picture of Jesus that this like Italian woman restored.
You are obsessed with Jesus.
This is, I assure you that everyone listening knows what I'm talking about. I'm not even joking.
I do not think that's true.
It was like a meme. It was viral. This is like one of the earliest memes on the internet in the 2000s, 2012 or whatever. It was like a sketch on SNL. Kate McKinnon played the Italian woman who fixed the painting and she fucked it up so badly. It doesn't look like the original painting at all. It looks like a cartoon that she tried drawing over it.
Wait, can you show me it? Because I think that I actually know the image, but did not know the history. Oh my God. I did not know that this was the history of this meme. I've seen this meme. I've seen this painting all over. Had no idea.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What it
now
was.
You say that. You lying
I
sack of
no
shit.
I had no idea why, what it was or anything. I honestly just never really got
sure,
it. But
sure,
now I
sure,
do.
Sure,
the
sure.
more you learn. Wow.
Anyway, so all I'm saying is let me restore this painting. I'll fix it.
It doesn't seem that hard. You just put a little paint over the two little
right. It's like,
dots.
First of all, I'm a man, so I will automatically make it better. And second of all, I have great taste and I'm a beautiful artist.
And he just did like two little dots.
You know? Also, it's like just buy. You go to Home Depot.
White out. Ever heard of it?
Go get the little paint swatches. Yeah, We've all done it. I also just painted my bedroom wall. So I know exactly what I'm doing. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First.
Don't forget to share and tag us in ridiculous news that you want us to cover at Unhappy Hour on Instagram.
Next, we are diving deep into your love lives right after this commercial break. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, 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 deep
dive. I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment, and if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Well, as is tradition here on Unhappy Hour, it is Valentine's Day season, which means we are all bereft, and we are going to be answering listener questions, as always, and we are joined, as is our tradition here, by Lane Moore, who is the author of How to Be Alone, If You Want to, and Even If You Don't, and the creator and host of Tinder Live, which is currently on tour. Welcome back to the show, Lane Moore.
Yeah, thank you. It's so funny. Whenever people are like, how do you feel about Valentine's Day? I'm like, well, I do a lot of shows and podcasts. So
it's not a coincidence that
we celebrate it in my own way, you know?
You know what? We're rebranding it as Lane Moore Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. I have a lot of conflicted feelings about that, but thank you.
Well, before we get into questions, because it has been a while since we've caught up, what have you been up to? Tell us, catch us up.
Oh my goodness. The weeping. There has been weeping. There will be tears. I don't know. I'm good. Yeah, I feel like that's unconvincing after that. Yeah. There's a lot of sobbing. The first thing I thought to answer was sobbing. I'm good. It's probably not super convincing. I'm doing pretty well. It's been nice to be able to like do shows in New York City again and go on tour again. And I'm like working on a second book that's like a sequel to How to Be Alone. So there's good stuff coming up. There's reasons to keep going a little longer.
Amazing. And
you're back on the road doing Tinder Live shows. How are those going?
So great. I remember like at the beginning of the pandemic when it was like we all kind of thought like, oh, you know, are dating apps, like are people going to be like more mindful and like really like want a connection, like treat people better? And then we quickly found out like, no. So it's been great for Tinder Live.
That's what I'm curious about, because like how I feel like I know my experience with the apps over the last 2 years and how it has sort of ebbed and flowed. And now that like we're sort of back to a kind of pre-pandemic stage of like everybody's wild and out again. But are people like even crazier than they were before? Like, have inhibitions gone completely out the window?
I feel like because, like, I mean, I guess, like, if somebody hasn't seen Tinder Live before, I also, like, play, like, I literally am, like, swiping right on, like, right. The craziest profiles.
Someone who has no ambitions. That is your character.
Yeah, well, she has she has ambition. She just also has a lot of problems. she's just also, like, really drunk and really horny and doesn't know what her own hands look like. But, you know, something's wrong with her. So it's, like, I guess my point is, like, I don't feel like anybody who talked to, like, my Tinder Live character was, like, I need to loosen up a bit. Like, I don't know why they were talking to her anyway, you know? So, yeah. I haven't noticed that as much. I don't know. It's so funny because it did seem like it would have this shift. And I just feel like it has changed nothing in, like, when I've used it personally or professionally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great energy to start help solve everyone's problem.
But, you know, I feel like that's probably validating, though, for a lot of people to hear, because it's I know at the beginning I was like, oh my God, I'm going to like meet someone and it's going to be like old timey and they're going to like send me letters in the mail and like flowers and it's going to be like so cute, a return to the 1800s in the one good way the 1800s was good or something. But that didn't happen for most of us, so.
Hey, I mean, if we still didn't have problems, we wouldn't be able to do this rant hotline. So, you know, really for everyone's benefit.
Thank God there's Perfect been no segue. Marked improvement.
Yeah. Well, on that note, people still have problems. We are still ill-equipped to answer them, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, we are.
So we had people both leave voicemail questions and some written questions. So we're getting a mix of both. So are we ready?
We're ready. Let's do
it. We are. I also love that we both have like really strong messages on our pink accessories.
I am wearing the free tushy shirt that I got that says, ask me about my butthole. I felt like it was fitting. Fitting for Valentine's Day.
And Lane, for the people who aren't seeing the video, please tell us what's on your head right now.
Yeah, I'm wearing a pink hat that says daddy that I think was intended for gay men. But I was like, as a queer top, I'm going to own it. Anyone can be a daddy. It's, you know,
lesson number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is way more about the energy than it is about any specific,
you know,
role. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love it. I love it.
Leave us your rant after the beep.
Okay. Hey, Matt. Hey, Barry. Shout out to Putty. Hope you find love, too.
Thank you so
much. Quick question. So when is it right to possibly completely fuck up a friendship and shoot your shot? It's just so hard to evaluate losing an entire person versus it being the best choice ever. So do you just make the safe choice and retain a good person in your life, or do you just say fuck it, or possibly fuck it all up? Would love your thoughts on how to gauge that situation, asking for a friend.
Uh-huh.
I believe it sounds true.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
I mean, who hasn't asked this question at some point?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I thought reading this was like, okay, but like, how in love with him are you?
Sure.
You know, like, what's the interest level really like? Because that's I feel like, is it how much it's worth it? Is it going to dissipate in like 6 months?
Mm.
Right. Is this a heat of the moment, a passion, a crush?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that is a valid test of like, okay, give it a few months of silent pining and then see if the fire is still there. See, a part of me is like, been there, done that, fucked it up, right?
Yeah. So
that is the gay story, I would say. I was like in love with my straight best friend, which was, an impossible situation that was never going to work out,
right, if
I confessed my love.
Yeah.
And I fucked it up anyway. But B, it's like, how bad could you really fuck it up?
Right. I'm like, if you're that good of friends and you have that strong of like a connection and communication, does it have to be an either or? Like, could you work through it if they don't feel the same way?
That's kind of what I think. I just feel like this is something that doesn't have a flat answer, because it's just like there's so many variables here. Like, I had somebody who I was like, oh, I think I have feelings for this person, who like had feelings for me a long time ago, and that I like was in a weird place, and then we stayed friends, and I was like, I wonder if they're still in love with me, because maybe I have feelings now. And I waited and they went away. I learned more about them and they disappeared. So like, the person didn't disappear, the feelings did. I was just like,
okay, I was gonna say, and now it's a true crime podcast, where is that person?
Now she's dead and it took care of itself. So wait for them to die. Sometimes they just die.
Yeah, we're off to a great start.
Yeah, I think we crushed it. Yeah, because everyone does, you know?
Right.
Go off, get it, or don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've been in situations where I didn't tell the person that I really liked them, but it was like very obvious. And like, we just kind of skirted. I'm talking about Barry, of course.
That's right, yeah, I can't even look at her. No, it's so the tension.
But where it's like, I feel like it is possible. When you like someone, it's like, if they don't like you back, you'll get over it eventually. Yeah. And like, you can get past it unless you like make it weird.
Yeah, I think that's it. And like, I don't know, I couldn't gauge from the way this person sounded, like how into them they were. So I'm not really sure, but it didn't sound like, I don't know. It sounded more like it was just like, oh, I'm kind of thinking about this. Would it be worth it? And for me, I'm just like, wait, analyze your dynamic. You know, it just didn't sound that like, I have been deeply in love with this person and I cannot, like, it didn't sound like that. So I'm like,
yeah.
Wait on it.
Yeah. I don't know your thoughts, either of your thoughts. I think there's a stereotype amongst gay men in particular that like you basically like fuck first, introduce yourself second, and then become friends third. That is not my preference. The point being that like the stereotype amongst gay men is that like you always are attracted to your friends, and then once you realize that you're not compatible, then you just become friends with these people. It's like all gay men are supposed to be like friends with their exes, and like everybody is just part of this big polyamorous relationship. I like hate it. I don't judge anybody else's experience, but I'm like, no, because of my attachment issues, there's no way that I can remain friends with someone who I liked at any point.
Healthy.
Right. Yeah. Which I don't know if it's like healthy or unhealthy. That's just how I respond to things. Just based on, I feel like it's just psychology. That's just like how, because of something that probably happened when I was like 1 year old and I don't even remember it, I have an attachment style that makes it impossible for me to be friends with people that I had feelings for at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because it's like, you know, I feel like for queer women and femmes, it's more like, you're just like low key in love with all of your friends and you just
accept
it. That
is exactly how I feel. Exactly.
You know, I'm just like, we just accept that we're always going to be a little bit in love with pretty much everyone that we're friends with, and like to varying degrees. And sometimes you're just like, I am not in love with you anymore. We are just friends. And it is barely that. So it just, you know, it goes back and forth. But I think that's why I'm just like, I can do it, because there are friends of mine who I'm like, I'm a little in love with you. I don't know if it would work, but but it depends on how strong these feelings are. And when I've had it where it was like the feelings really were strong, I waited a while and I was like, oh, maybe these are not really about this person. And it's like more about something this person brought to my life. And it's not actually about them.
Or they're the like only other person in your quarantine pod, and you just got those like quarantine goggles on and you're like, oh, are you just the closest human near me?
Right. Or it was just like they were the last person who was nicest to you. Like, you know, like, let's be real.
Also in love with everyone who's nice to me.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, remember them? They were so nice to me. No one else is nice to me right now. They were the one. And then I'm like, they also had problems, Lane. You've just been in a weird state, you know?
All right. Well, I feel like we solved it.
We absolutely did. And remember, they will die.
Right. When all else fails, just bank on them dying. Yeah. And there are ways to speed that up, honestly. You know, it's like, obviously, I'm not going to say outright murder them, but like, you can introduce like lead paint to their life.
Right.
You
yeah.
can
yeah.
kind of do the kind of low level carcinogens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paintbrush, just out. Like the flakes. Yeah, I don't know. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, here's some tea I made you. But right. Oops, there's a little bit of little extra paint chips.
Paint chips again. Oh, no.
That I scooped up. Oh, this mouse trap that I found.
Oh no, this knife chandelier, you're under it. You know, whatever works for you.
Right. Oh, here's this toaster that I bought off Facebook Marketplace that sparks.
Take a
when
bath.
You plug it in. Right.
Take a bath.
I
with
drew
me.
You this beautiful bubble bath.
All right, next voicemail.
Okay, so this is for the relationship advice episode. So I've been talking to a guy for more than a year now. Mm. We ended up moving in together, but the entire time we haven't been together. Like, his friends and my friends see us as each other's boyfriends, but every time I ask him out, he says no. He also doesn't post me on social media or anywhere. So what do I do? Like, how do I just end it? Because like, I do care about him and I do want to be with him, but he always just says that he doesn't want to be in a relationship, but does everything that a relationship takes, just kind of like in the closet. So yeah. Mm. And this has been going on for more than a year, so I just need a little bit of help because I've been stressing out. Thank you.
Oof.
I just want to like give you the biggest hug.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I was like, I had a joke and then the last part happened and I was like, oh. I still have the joke, but I also have sadness, which is, you know, my autobiography. I still have the jokes, but I also have sadness.
Right. I don't know if we can advise murder on this one because it might seem like too much of a solution.
Yeah. And a little hate crimey somehow.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. Seems. I mean, my first thought was like, you have a roommate. Like, this right. isn't a boyfriend, this is a roommate. Like, it's interesting the way this was phrased. But, I mean, obviously, I think all three of us are sitting on an overwhelming feeling of, oh my goodness, please get out of this.
Yeah.
Please, you deserve so much more.
Yes, exactly. It's like, as much as it absolutely sucks, you're just kind of putting off someone who does want to be in a relationship with you and who will put you on social media and treat you like you should be treated.
Yes.
And who will do all of those things with you and proudly. This is the most genuine I've ever been.
Yeah, that was like beautiful.
I know. But it was like, it necessitates it because I also just like, I don't know. You know, it's so easy to... I feel like a lot of times, you know, some people when they give advice and stuff, it's like they read something like this and they're like, just end it, whatever. And it's like, okay, but you have to hold space for the fact that like, if you've ever been in a situation like this, you know that it's not this like, love yourself, move on. It's like, that right. stuff is sticky and painful, which I think is why we're all sitting here being like, we don't want you to have to go through what you're about to have to go through. Because it's not that simple, but the core of it really is that like, good Lord, you deserve better. You're not getting what you want. He's not going to change. Like, get out of there. And you can't wait. You know, I think this is where our advice shifts. You cannot wait for him to die. Get out. Get out now. He could live to be 1,000. You don't know.
Unless he's like on his way out the door. In that case, it's like, okay, you know.
Maybe he'll at least, you know, be like, I need to get at least one IG post out of you before you get out of here. And make him get his login. He's about to go.
Right. But yeah, obviously, exactly. It's like, okay, you live together. It's not that easy to be like, okay, I'm just going to move on with my life. It's like, okay, it's going to take a little bit more than that. But however long that process takes, it's worth starting it.
Like literally the second you hear this, like make moves. Yeah. Check that lease.
Unless he's rich, then I'm like,
oh, that's a whole other bag you just opened.
Well, but then you still need to renegotiate your relationship and maybe get a monthly sum.
Sure. There, yeah. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get alimony at the very least.
Yeah.
All right. I think we gave some genuine advice.
We really did crush it again.
Hey, my name is Claire. I'm calling about your Valentine's Day episode request. Mm-hmm. So my boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months now, and everything's great except for one kind of weird detail.
Ooh.
I have never been to his place, which I know sounds really sketchy at first, major red flags, but apparently his ex was a psycho stalker, like full psycho. So he's got like trust issues because of that. And like no one has been to his house. His friends haven't been to his house. Only his parents and like a direct family. And like, I get that. I got my own shit going on that I'm working through. But like, how do I tell him at some point, I'm going to see where you live. Like, I love that we hang out at my place. My stuff is near me. I don't have to drive, which means I can drink. Fine. But it's weird. Right? It's weird. Anyways, love you guys. I guess if that's the worst relationship thing I'm dealing with, not bad. Bye.
Okay.
What? I feel like we're all just sitting here like we just heard the weirdest thing we've ever heard. Like I'm watching everyone's face and we're all like
Right. I think we're all thinking he doesn't have a house.
Right. And or he is a murderer and that's where he keeps the bodies.
Also, like, I don't know if both of you are thinking this, but the second that I hear a woman say, my male boyfriend, his ex is crazy, I'm like, liar, liar. I just, and don't get me wrong, you know, I know, whatever, crazy women exist, fine, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I'm just like, what did he do? What did he do to her? Like, that's just all because you know, men have ruined that. Y'all have ruined that for yourselves. Like, so even if somebody was a little excessive and had really poor boundaries or whatever it is, y'all ruined it by calling us all crazy all the time for having legitimate issues with you. So I'm already a little bit like, in the like, well, my ex was crazy, so here's why I can't give you what you want is like the biggest red flag to me in the world. Even if, yeah, there's a like 5% chance that that is true, I'm still suspicious. Are you guys feeling that too?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think, because she does specifically ask, like, she knows this is weird. She knows.
Yeah.
And she is aware of that. She knows it's a red flag. So she is asking, like, how do I tell him that, like, I need to see where he lives? And I feel like that, it's like, hey, how do you approach that? I mean, first of all, you talk. Like, that's like me sitting watching any TV show. I'm just like, the characters should talk to each other. And then
right. And then in your own life, you're like, we've ignored this for 6 years.
Yeah. Right. We started this advice just 10 minutes ago saying, just give it time. Just wait it out.
Yeah, let him die. Like, you'll never have to deal with it.
Yeah. Confront your fears. Have the conversation. But yeah, I think it is just one of those moments where it's like, I don't know, relationships are about trust, and every like new step of a relationship is about like letting your guard down that little bit much more.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's gonna have to come down eventually. Yeah. Okay. You're gonna have to Wizard of Oz him.
Well, and the other thing that I don't like about this is I'm frustrated for this person because all I'm hearing is that she has just been like swallowing her needs for 6 months. I don't like that. I really don't like it. I don't like that. Like, there's been no, and 6 months is a long time. If you guys have been dating for like 2 months and this had happened and it was like weighing on you, 6 months is a long time for you to be swallowing your needs.
Can they make him FaceTime from his apartment? So at least you can be like, show me around. I want to make sure
something,
that
it really does sound like, yeah, sorry, there's bodies in here. Like, it really is just,
like, you can hide the location. I don't need to know where it is. Or like witness protection, kind of like, ooh, okay, blindfold me, put me in the back of a van, take me to your apartment.
Make it a role play thing.
Sure.
Make
yeah.
it sexy.
Just play kidnap, take me to your apartment. I won't know where it is. You can take my phone. I won't tell any of my friends, actually. Like, I'll disable find my iPhone.
Okay.
or, hold on. Is he a hero? Now, I was just thinking about what if all of, he does have corpses in his apartment, but they're of all the people from the rest of the show who we've been like, maybe he'll die. And he'll be like, I'll take their corpses. Like, I don't know.
Right.
It's really
he's kind
tough.
Of like a romantic Dexter.
Vigilante.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, but even then, like, tell you about that. Like, you'd yeah. want to know, you yeah. know, it'll bring you closer.
I'm just, I don't know, immediately my brain was like, he lives in the sewer. I just know he's like,
it's a real Beauty
rat.
And the Beast. Like, wasn't there like an old Beauty and the Beast show where he literally did live in the sewer? I think it was like early 90s or something. So like, maybe he's that. But then like, he also has like a sweet palace. I don't know.
All right. Problem solved.
Absolutely.
And yeah, worst case scenario, you know, pull a Colton Underwood and just place an air tag on his body somewhere. And then you'll be able to track him home.
Let's do one more. This will be our final voicemail.
Uh-huh.
This one is not even necessarily asking for advice as much as it's just kind of sharing their situation. And I'm excited to hear about it and talk about it.
Hi. So my students roast me about my lack of love life all the time. And they were really, really invested because there was a cute boy at a bagel shop that I was like hardcore crushing on, and they're super pissed that the love story between teacher lady and bagel boy does not work out.
I mean, same.
So basically my students just roast me continuously, and they will not settle until I found a partner. So that's my sad love life, is I'm consistently getting roasted by teenagers.
So I wanted to include this one because I feel like what we can really do here is help this teacher roast her students.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, they're all virgins. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know how old your students are, so that might not even be true. Second of all, how are you letting these children make you feel like you are less than?
They okay? can't even pay for their own bagels.
Yeah, they're still in school.
Actually, to be honest, with teacher salaries, a lot of those kids might have more money than she does.
That's so fair. Their allowances are probably more.
Okay, right. That is a harsher like, roast.
That's a harsher, like, yeah. I'm not suggesting that. Oh, my God. Do not tell your students that. Oh, my God. We cannot add fuel to their fire. But anyway, just wanted to acknowledge that.
I think just lie to them. You know, it's time that they learn that the world is not as rosy as they think it is, okay? Guess what? Most of them will also probably be alone.
So what's funny about this is like, I'm looking at this and realizing how, like, what a weird level I relate to this. Because, okay, I don't know if you guys remember this, but a couple years ago, and I've had this happen actually a couple times, but a couple years ago, I, like, had this, like, meet cute with this guy who ended up being called Laundry Guy, and it like went viral, and it was this whole mm-hmm. thing, and it was like everyone yes. was rooting for me and Laundry Guy. It was like this crazy thing, and then like it just like didn't happen. It was just like there were all these things. It was like this really cute rom-com-y buildup, and I was like, how is this so beautiful? And then it just did like not end up taking off. And I was like, and people were like, what are the updates? And I was like, you don't want to know the update, because it's like just not as good as the ending that we would have wanted. And then I had another one that like blew up, where it was like a guy that I met during like a virtual Tinder live show that was like everyone was rooting for Don, and it was like this whole thing. And then Don and I were supposed to go on an actual real life date, and then he just ghosted me, and it was like, well, that sucks. I guess it's just funny because I'm like, I understand on like a large scale about this, and
yeah,
it's kind of interesting because you're just like, oh. But my advice would be to just like nip this in the bud so they never ask about it again, and just be like, I'm a witch. And then just that's it. And you never answer any further questions. Just redirect it to I'm a witch and be like, anyway, so today's curriculum. Now you're like a cool single witch who plans to never marry. Maybe you're going to like give poisoned candy to kids. They don't know. But like, I'm a witch. Move on. I think could work.
Yeah,
I've done it.
And yeah, I mean, just as an alternative, we can like red pill, blue pill this.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
You know, you could pick your poison here. Print out like 100 headshots, right, with all your deets on the back of it, right? And you know, cup size, obviously, like, you know, just all of it.
Yeah.
And hand them out to all your students and be like, every week I need you to bring me in the name of a potential gentleman.
Yeah, I'm sure they all have uncles.
It's like, put them to work for you if they're going to roast you.
Yeah, okay. Also, our ideas could be combined because there is something really like great witch queen about this plan of being like, my kingdom
subjects.
Go, yes, my, exactly, that's what it was, my subjects, go and find me a suitor, like I implore you, go, and like, and you go, and then you get to be a witch and make your students work to find you love.
Boom. Yeah. Boom.
That's cool.
And Barry knows this, but I spend almost all of my time on TikTok, hours a day, not exaggerating. And I do know that TikTok teachers are, it's like a big niche, a big genre. And this person is certainly not alone. I have seen so many teachers on TikTok whose students are just vicious.
Yeah.
The latest one was someone who told her student she was born in the 1990s, and it was a black woman, and they asked her if she had been a slave.
Oh my God.
No.
When I tell you my jaw was on the ground for a full 30 minutes after I viewed that 40-second TikTok.
My dog is barking in the background. She's really upset about this discovery. She's like, that's true.
We have riled up the animal kingdom. Yeah. So the point is, you are not alone. Plenty of teachers are getting roasted every day.
Yeah. Use it as a power, not a weakness.
And you're a witch, so you have that power. You're a welcome.
Right. Use the power of fear.
Yeah.
Always.
Solved it all.
Lane and Lights, tell the people where they can find you in person and on the internet.
Yeah, you can find me at Hello Lane Moore on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and all the things. And you can find tickets for Tinder Live. I do the show every month in New York City. And you can find all the tour cities on lanemoore.org. And you can buy How to Be Alone in any store ever.
Amazing.
I mean, I don't know if it's like in Trader Joe's. Probably not. I feel like I did too wide of a swath there, but you know, you get
it. It's worth looking. You know, you never know.
We can put books of yours in Trader Joe's.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh my God, it'll be like Willy Wonka and the Golden Ticket.
Yes.
Yeah.
I found one of Lane's books.
Well, thank you so much again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We will see you next time, where we solve a whole bunch of other romantic hope. What is, whatever the opposite of hopefuls is?
Hopeless romantics.
All right. Bye. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. Barry, what are we highlighting this week?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about book banning lately, and I was listening to this episode of On the Media, which is a great podcast, and they did a whole episode about like the history of book banning, the student who took his school board all the way to the Supreme Court in the 80s, and they also highlighted this writer, Kelly Jensen, and I wanted to talk about a toolkit because this is one of those things where I feel like, especially if you're not a part of school systems and stuff, you're like, okay, well, what can we actually do about book banning?
Yeah.
And so she wrote out this very detailed toolkit that came out years ago, because guess what? This is not a new problem, called How to Fight Book Bans and Challenges. We'll link to it in our show notes, but it's on the blog called Book Riot. It's super informative. It has step-by-step actions, both for citizens, so just like if it's parents or if, you know, it's somebody who is really passionate about this in their town, but then it's also for gatekeepers, which are educators, librarians, and administrators, about how to fight these book bans and challenges.
Right.
So we are going to link to all of that and the episode of On the Media if you want to learn more about it. It was really informative and a really good episode. And it's really important to keep these types of materials in our education system.
Yeah, I suppose for people who may not be following this story, there are schools throughout the country that are attempting to ban books that teach about, like, I don't know, racism,
yeah,
slavery.
Yeah, homosexuality, also the Holocaust, which is deeply personal for me because my grandpa literally wrote a book for 7th and 8th graders to teach about the Holocaust and like goes around to schools teaching. And I grew up going with him. And it's such a powerful and important part of our education system. And kids learn so much through those types of personal stories. And people just want to silence that.
I feel like the reasoning is often like, oh, kids are too young to be learning about this. And the implication there is often like white children are too fragile to learn about that. Because like black parents have to teach black children like how to deal with racism when they're incredibly young.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, your white kids can handle it.
Yeah.
We did. Look at us. We're mostly fine. So yeah, it is scary.
But this is a really helpful toolkit. Pass it around if you know educators, if you yourself aren't a parent with kids in the public school system, things like that. I think it's probably, you know, people who would be affected by this and might want to pass it around. So we'll link to it in our show notes.
All right. Let's get into the TV we're watching this week. What have you been watching?
I have still just been watching Southside. And the more I watch that show, the more I love it. It's so funny. We're now in the second season. And I think that the third season they just announced is coming back really soon. So that is the show on HBO Max that is set in the South Side of Chicago. And it's really great. So, yeah. What about you? What are you watching this week?
So I've been watching this old show on HBO Max. It came out in like early 2020 called Stylish with Jenna Lyons. Mm-hmm. Do you know it?
I heard you talking about it earlier this week off mic, but I would love to hear about it on the record.
Fairweather fan, here she comes. Oh, now it's just because you heard someone tell you about it. You're going to watch it. Okay. Anyway, Jenna Lyons, if you don't know, was like the CEO, I think, of J.Crew for a while.
Sure.
Or like creative director. I don't actually know. I think she ran J.Crew.
let me look it up because I bet it'll be extremely easy to find out. She was a creative director and president for J.Crew.
Got it. Yeah. I'm sure if you don't recognize her name, then you may at least recognize her face. She has like very iconic like glasses and this like kind of preppy fashionista look. Mm-hmm. And she left J.Crew a few years ago and decided to kind of start her own venture. And she has this show called Stylish with Jenna Lyons on HBO Max. It's like part documentary about like her finding out what she's going to do next, but also part like Project Runway where she's like hiring. She has, it's like every episode, there's like a few potential associates who like, maybe she'll hire. It's like an HR. You're just watching someone pick employees.
Cool. Cool way to recruit.
But it is like, I don't know. She's kind of, it's fun. Like she's very entertaining. The people in the show are very entertaining. It is sort of a mix of like Project Runway, an HGTV show, documentary. I don't know. It's fun to watch.
Great.
And also it's inspiring me to be like, all right, I know I have great taste. I know fashion.
Are you going to go on the show? You're going to audition?
Yeah, Jenna Lyons, if you're listening, you should actually hire me. yeah. She's sort of like creating the next Goop, like that kind of like lifestyle brand that covers like interiors, fashion, cosmetics.
Right, right.
So basically what I do. So like, yeah. I get it. Yeah. What is your non-TV chaser?
I got two. One, I finally went to Susan Alexandra's store, which is a designer that is very fun and very like poppy. She's a bag designer and a couple other things. It's a lot of like, it's like growing up in the 90s as a kid, what you thought was like the epitome of beauty and style, but like as a child, like they made that for adults. And so I got this beautiful bag and I got a cow headband, which I already posted on Instagram. I'll reshare it from the Unhappy Hour account. I did fully take a photo shoot in your studio, in your home. I made you leave the room so I could take selfies by myself because I love this cow headband. It's so cute. And it just makes me ridiculously happy to wear this cow headband. So that, and then I started listening to Brian Cox's autobiography, his memoir, and he narrates it. And Brian Cox, for those who don't remember, is Logan Roy on Succession and like a bunch of other theater and movies and, you know, storied actor. And it is so gossipy. So his voice is amazing. Listening to him is obviously incredible, but also like the prologue, not even the first chapter. The prologue is just him dragging Steven Seagal. It's
well, he deserves
I mean, he
it.
Deserves to be dragged.
That man is categorically
literally,
insane.
For sure. Deserves to be dragged. But like, I love that that's how he starts the book. And like, I'm in the childhood stage right now of his life, but I know that there's like a ton of theater gossip and he just is like,
so he came out the womb dragging Steven Seagal.
Essentially.
I'm assuming Steven Seagal birthed him, which would not surprise me.
No.
You should tell the people why you're reading that book.
I may or may not have been inspired because he did recently join my gym. And we have been working out on the same schedule. And you know who looks way grumpier and less enthused to work out than even me? Brian Cox.
Yeah. I just want to hear Logan Roy say fuck off at the gym.
So far he hasn't said that to anyone because I think everyone's afraid to say anything to him.
Yeah,
rightly so. No one should. But in lieu of that, I've just been listening to his memoir and it's really amazing.
Good.
What about you? What's your non-TV chaser?
Well, mine will be similarly capitalistic.
Yes.
Because
I'm supporting women designers, okay? Independent women
that's
designers.
Fair. Yeah, that's true.
She is. I mean, I also, it was so expensive. And I had a whole guilt trip with myself about it, but I also really fucking love it. It's literally like the kind of thing that feels like art. Like I am buying this bag and it is also art and I have it like in my apartment and a place where I see it multiple times a day, every day.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I do think, I mean, on that note, on a serious note, I know I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that my gripe was buying too much stuff. But I do feel like the solution is that you should be only buying stuff that like you actually value.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that people always say, like, just, you know, invest in a couple of things every year if you can. This is a privileged conversation, which is why I should probably change my chaser from jewelry.
No, I want to hear about it.
But yeah, I feel like I've been trying to get it. I never really was like a jewelry person besides, and I know it's cringy, I did have a high school ring.
I did not know this about you.
I was one of those people. Of course, I did not wear it beyond like senior year, maybe.
Uh-huh.
It was also like the cheapest possible one that you could buy that's made of like rocks. I don't know anybody who spent like thousands of dollars on a high school ring.
I hope not.
No, this was like literally the cheapest one that you could buy. But anyway, this is not about my high school ring. This is about how I, since then, have worn no jewelry ever in my life. And I'm trying to experiment more with wearing, like, necklaces and chains. And I did get one. I was at home for Christmas, and I told my mom, I was like, yeah, I've been thinking of, like, trying to get more into, like, necklaces. And she was like, oh, you know your great-grandma, like, left you a necklace from Italy. And I was like, no, I didn't know that.
Why would I just know that?
We literally had to like dig through closets to find it too. And apparently there's another one that she wasn't able to find.
Oh, good.
That is buried somewhere.
But she did find the one.
Yeah, we found the one. So I have that, which
is
cool.
It's so great. It's such a good chain.
It's like a family heirloom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't rob me. It is cool to have something that like, I don't know, it's like from Italy that my family brought here. I'm assuming
that she had to smuggle in her ass
in
order to get to this country.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I don't actually know. I, for all I know, it was like, I don't know, they were just vacationing there after they moved here. Like, I don't think it was like a grab everything you have and we're running to the boat situation. But it could have been.
Could have.
That's the story I'll tell myself.
And your children.
Exactly. So anyway, but yeah, I mean,
love it.
I also have gone to H&M and bought like the cheapest necklaces there. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's fun to accessorize.
Yeah.
Am I inspired by Jenna Lyons? Sure. But yeah, that's my chaser. And guess what? That's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, and obviously you do, you can head straight to my Patreon page, patreon.com/MattBellisI. You can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. We got t-shirts, we got hats, we got sweatshirts. As always, you can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY, or wherever you get podcasts. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, and me, Matt Bellisai. Hadim Jang, Meredith Rice, and Kurt Courtenay help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. I was trying to sing Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, I can't wait to
sing
see it
fucked
up.
Sing for me. That's the only part I know. Mississippi is the Florida of the Southwest.
It's not in the Southwest.